What's up, guys? This is Captain Drew with Griffin's Guide Service. On today's episode of Eastern Current on the Chesapeake Bay, Captain Steve and I sit down with Captain Scott Barmby. Captain Scott owns Orvis Chesapeake Bay Fly School, as well as Rock On Charter Fishing. We're going to talk about his school, fly fishing for beginners, and the journey of a fly angler. Hope y'all enjoy.
Cape Fear Skiff Company builds their one-of-a-kind, indestructible aluminum skiffs right here in Wilmington, North Carolina. If you're looking for a flat skiff that pulls, rides, and performs just as good as a fiberglass boat and stands the test of time one oyster bar after another, Cape Fear Skiff Company has the boat for you. Matt and Cooper don't just build an awesome boat, they understand the importance of top-notch customer service. If you're interested in checking out one of their boats, go follow their Instagram at Cape Fear Skiff Co. or check out their website, which you can find a link to in the podcast show notes.
What's going on, guys? It's Captain Steve Griffin. I'm here with
Captain Drew.
Captain Drew and Captain Scott Barmby from Orvis Fly Fishing School, Chesapeake Bay. Scott, welcome.
Thank you, Steve. Glad to be here.
Yeah, thanks for joining us on such a beautiful day.
It's pouring down rain. You guys got lucky this morning getting a trip in and getting out before it really started pouring.
Thank God.
We timed it pretty perfect. I mean, not on purpose. We didn't time it perfect, but we got lucky.
Yeah, we got
coming in.
Started pouring right as we were getting in the truck. So
some days better be lucky than good.
That's definitely the case.
Well, Captain Scott, thank you for joining us. Tell us a little bit about Orvis Fly Fishing, your school here in the Chesapeake Bay, and tell us a little bit about your background. Let's start with your background.
I grew up in Northern Virginia, started fishing for bass like everybody else does. Went to college, graduated, came back, went to Norfolk, lived in Virginia Beach, didn't saltwater fish at all. Came back, started duck hunting, fell in love with duck hunting, and like everybody in this room knows, $100,000 later, you're a duck hunter. Boats, decoys, dogs, guns. Then I started a company called Black Duck Outfitters. Had a lodge in Manitoba. We were licensed in Saskatchewan, North Dakota, Pennsylvania, Maryland. Ran that for about 15 years. Had a lot of fun with it. Loved duck hunting. One day a buddy of mine said, hey, do you want to go fishing in the Chesapeake Bay for striped bass? I'm like, why not? Went out, went trolling. We were trolling out of Sandy Point, out of Love Point, and I caught two 40-inch rockfish. I was like, okay, this is really cool. Came home, bought a Jones Brother 1910 boat, sold my house in Frederick, Maryland, moved to Chesapeake Beach, sold my business, and started, you know, saltwater fishing for rockfish and trout and whatever else we got here. used to always go to Florida with Captain Andrew, who you fished with, on your bachelor party.
Yep.
And he's a gem. I'd been going down with him for years. Went with my cousin one day, and there were tarpon rolling everywhere, and my cousin handed me a big old 12-weight Reddington and said, cast it over there. And I hooked into a tarpon. I had about a 5-minute show, and I'm done. I got the bug.
Well, if it was that easy, I might be interested, but I've never seen it go like that.
You're coming to the dark side. Nah. We're going to get you, Drew.
I've never seen Drew accept a handoff either.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. When did you decide to start guiding?
I worked in the automotive field for 40 years, got my captain's license so I could guide for duck hunters.
Yep.
And about 2 years before I retired in Maryland, as we all know, you can't get a TFL or a guide's license without paying through the yin yang. Well, for 1 month they cleared the list and I got a guide's license for $100, the regular fee. So I got my guide's license. I wasn't even guiding. But I said, you know what? I'm going to need this eventually. And when I retired, I said, you know what? I got a big badass boat. I might as well try to pay for it. Yeah. And I started guiding, hooked up with you guys. We all met at LJ's. You've had LJ on before.
Yep.
And, you know.
The rest is history, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I started doing the fly thing and just bought another boat.
So you got the bug down in Florida in the Keys.
Yes.
For fly fishing.
Yes.
When did you start trying to fly fish up here? Because there's not, in the Chesapeake Bay, there's not a lot of people fly fishing.
It is definitely, fishing the bay is a challenge. As you both know, because you both guide fly customers, you've got to have structure, you've got to have current, you've got to be out of the wind. So I kind of morphed into it, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. And just when the opportunity, I always have fly rods on the boat. So like when you get breakers, mm-hmm. you know, birds, it's great, you know. But a lot of it's opportunities. But a lot of it, like the other day when I told you about the trip I had, we were at one of the places that you hate, the power plant. And, you know, we were on little to mid-sized rockfish. Guys were catching them every cast. But it's a technical dredging. It's a technical thing. It's not like a traditional you see on ESP on Saturday morning, the guy in the river going, you know, this is a lot different. But that's, you know, that's kind of when it started. And we have trout. We have bull reds. We have rockfish. The bluefish and the mackerel, we can catch them too. Just got to be when they're up on top.
I think that's one of the biggest challenges I've noticed is the Chesapeake Bay. A lot of times we're fishing deep water. If you're fishing shallow, you can catch all day with a fly rod.
Right.
But fishing deep water and getting down to fish that are, say, even 30 foot down is a challenge. And I've noticed that is one of the biggest challenges I've seen.
Well, I got people calling me right now in this March when we're catching bigs, and they're like, can we catch them on a fly rod? I said, fish are 30 to 60 feet. You know, we can, and now we've both all seen when these big fish start slapping the top, and we've seen it. But it happens very occasionally.
Occasionally.
You know, and that's, you know, that's what I point out to customers.
Even when we see them in the shallows, and we're catching them in the shallows, you're experienced it several times, but we've got a guy on the bow fly fishing and a guy on the back spin fishing, and the guy on the back's got 10 fish in the boat, and the guy on the bow, it's the fanciest way to get skunked.
Yeah. Ask Mark Peeler.
Yeah, there's a...
You know, it is. You have to... You got to get the fish to eat.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier with a paddle tail Z-Man. It's a lot easier to get an eat. You know, in fly fishing, you got to not only present the fly, but you got to hope you can fish the fly correctly. And that's in the school. A lot of schools teach people how to cast a fly rod. Great. That's fantastic. How do you fish the fly? And we all know anybody can throw a paddle tail out there and they're going to hopefully catch a fish. But if you can work that paddle tail up and down the column, you know how to start and stop it. You know, same thing if you know how to snap jig. There's different techniques. Same thing with a fly. It's the exact top water. We have what's called gurglers. And one day when you're on my boat, I'll show you a gurgler.
I'm not coming that way.
Drew's like...
I've got gurgler.
Drew's like, I'm out.
Yeah.
You
know. For those of you listening, Drew is all about catching numbers and as many fish as possible. Fly fishing is not his forte, I guess I'll say. What do you say, Drew?
I mean, I'd say forte means I'm not good at it, which is probably true, but I'll never try to find out. But I don't know. I'm not trying to reinvent a wheel.
It is different. Like,
well, here's on that. While we're on that note, I have a lot of respect for guys who fly fish.
I'm taking nothing away from them. Like, some of our clients are the most hardcore, passionate guys about it, and I'll watch them. You know, they'll tell me to fish, and I'll be like, okay, and I'll be bailing 40s, and they're just up there pulling on their lines, and
or they're sticking them in your radar or in your prop.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing but respect for all those guys that can watch that all day. But they're looking for something different. Their success is that one bite, that one connection.
Especially trophy fishing.
Yeah.
When we get into schoolies, you can start to bail them with the fly rod. But this time of year, it's March on the Chesapeake Bay.
You might be fishing for one fish. Like you see one fish and hope you catch it.
And you might be fishing for that fish if you're fly fishing all winter.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of respect for, and it's a huge accomplishment to get that fish. Like
if
lifetime.
If you have them on top, like we've had, not so much this year, but last year when we were in between, we were down at Parker's when they were doing all that stuff at Parker's. That was a shot. If somebody had been smart enough to get down there, that was a good shot. Because they were, I mean, I watched you one day bill four in a row, and then we had to take you in because you had to leave. You billed four in a row, in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You know?
When it's good, it's good. And we had a couple good shots at fly, good fly fishing.
You had a guy get tight twice, right?
Tight twice on
overs, big fish.
On big 40s this year on a fly rod. He was standing on his line and pulled the hook, snapped off. So there's a lot of challenges. Let's get into that. Fly school, there's a lot that goes into fly fishing. So tell us a little bit about your school. And I know there's a ton.
You just hit on probably one of the main things that fly fishermen foobar, line management, right? I had a guy Monday wrap his line in my prop, even after coaching him, keep the line in the boat. The school we go through, we do a 1 and 2 day school, right? The 1 day school, you're going to get a lot of basics. I'm going to hit a lot of things, rods, reels, lines. We're going to do 3 casting sessions. I'm going to teach you how to pick up, lay down, how to back cast, how to forward cast. Not get into the more advanced, unless you're an advanced student. If you're an advanced student, I'm going to kind of jump here, but I'm like in Little League when it comes to fly fishing compared to some people. I've got instructors that I would put in the realm of fly fisher, I put them on the Tiger Woods and the Michael Jordan level that are teaching in this school that live in this area.
So that intrigues me. You're the Orvis Fly Fishing School on the Chesapeake Bay, but what you're bringing in top of the line instructors to teach these classes.
And we're fortunate that I have a couple guys that live in this area. One of our instructors was the Orvis instructor and manager at the Alpicola Lodge in Belize.
Wow.
Okay. He's fished all over the world. Another one of the guys has done specials for National Geographic fishing in Russia. They both live local. I put it together. Yeah. I am the glue. These guys are the nuts and bolts. Mm-hmm. These guys know more about fly fishing than I'll ever know. And have fished in more places than I'll ever be able to fish. So in the school, you know, we're going to go through everything you need to know about fly fishing, all right? The baits, the flies, handling fish, okay? We're all guides. We recognize that conserving our resource is paramount. It has to happen, you know, and big thing I teach in the school is how to handle fish, okay? How to release fish. It's a big thing I handle that I do. We teach the Orvis methods. It's the Orvis progressive method of how to pick up and lay down. So, Drew, if you've never picked up a fly rod and casted, I could actually probably get you casting by the end of the day.
I have a confession. I've caught a fish on a fly rod.
I want to see the picture. I want to see the picture.
It was before cell phones.
I want to see the picture.
And it might have been in a pond, maybe twice the size of this room. And it might have been like a 6-inch bluegill. But hey. I casted. I did it.
But that's the purpose of this school. The purpose of this school is to teach people that are beginners.
Yeah.
And I'll take people that have fished all over the world that want to come and be with these guys these guys can cast around corners. Okay. You know, I mean, some of the things they can do is just, I mean, it's unbelievable. It's absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah. I think that brings a lot of value and just bringing a bunch of different
perspectives.
And, yeah. Yeah. Guys looking in, you know, you might pick out something somebody's doing wrong, a little bit different than someone else. And
or even technique stuff, you know, same way we work. Like, you know, you hop on some, you know, I hop on with Scotty. I feel pretty confident in my ability to fish, but I'll go with Scotty and learn something I've never done in guiding or fun fishing. And just the more people from more backgrounds you get involved in something like that, I think it helps.
It's 100%. You know, I say steal something from everybody and put it in your quiver. And that way, you know,
when you need it.
Well, I mean, I watched Steve the way we were fishing one day, the way he was working a paddle tail that I'd never done before, you know, in winter fishing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he was doing a technique and I've used it and caught a lot of bigs with it.
Go ahead and tell Drew how well it worked that day. Yeah.
He got four over 40 in like 20 minutes.
It took you 20 minutes to get four?
Guys, this podcast sometimes gets a little rough. Everybody put seatbelts on. Yeah. But no, I mean, that's exactly right. What the school does, it brings a lot of people with a lot of knowledge that will spend the time with you. Very small ratio. I got one instructor for four people. Sometimes it's going to even be better than that. I'll have one instructor for two people. So, you know, you've got a guy that is a master FFI. Okay. That's what they call it. FFI. And they are master instructors. I'm not certified. I'm the business guy that put it all together and I'm the glue, but these guys are.
So like, is it, you say, you know, 4-1, is that like, you're rotating through a station to instructor to instructor within the same day of class, or that class for the whole day is four guys and the instructors are alternating through?
The way it works, we do three casting sessions, okay? And depending on level of ability, all right, and before you come to the class, I send out a questionnaire and ask where you're at in this journey. And the people that are advanced, I'll have three or four people that are advanced. I'll have one instructor with them for the whole time.
Mm.
So that way you know where you're at and what you're doing. Okay. And I'll have another instructor with the guys that are basics. And you pretty much stay with the same instructor the whole day. Because that way somebody doesn't have to figure out what's going on. Yeah.
You build a relationship too.
And the instructor notices what you need help with more.
And, you know, we do take people fishing afterwards, and we do, like Steve and I are talking, you know, you guys are going to get customers on a boat. I'm going to put an instructor in with them, and we're going to go. You know, that's going to be part of it. So, you know, it's going to benefit everybody in this room, but you're going to have, Drew, you'll have the best of the best in the boat with you. So you can't.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah, Drew loves that idea.
Drew doesn't. Drew hates it. But here's the deal. So you went through a 2-day class with an instructor. He's with you for 2 days. Then you go out on the water with him and you catch.
That's good. You put it into practice and.
Yeah, and it's the whole package. Yeah. You know, and we teach both fresh and salt. So,
well, that was my next question. Is it's the Chesapeake Bay Fly Fishing School, but you could probably use these practices and everything you learn from your school anywhere in the world.
Well, and I teach in the school, we go over all the flies you use for trout, working fishing the fly for trout. We go over all that too, because we have some of the world's best trout fishing right here in Maryland, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
I mean, we got great trout fishing. So that's part of the school, but you know, raise my hand. I don't trout fish. Been once in my life. Not me.
No.
Well, I have to say, if you can saltwater fly fish, if you can do long double hauls and long casts, you can probably fly fish anywhere.
And vice versa. If you can fish on freshwater and you're proficient at it, I'll get you catching on saltwater.
Yeah.
No problem. You know, we do both. We teach both. And I'm going to go back. We use all Orvis equipment. Okay. The new H4 that just came out. All right. I use the latest reels. You're going to have the latest, best that there is in the market in your hand.
That helps.
Oh, it's light years above what was around 6-7 years ago. So, you know, and I'm not trying to sell and promote, but you're going to have some of the best in the business with the best equipment in the business. It's if you want to, you know, and when I got into this, right, I've been all up and down the East Coast fishing, but I've also been all up and down the East Coast to fly schools, all right? I've been to multiple people's fly schools, trout schools, saltwater schools, been to all of them. I mean, I've been to some of the best there are. I haven't been to Wolf. I just haven't. That's a trout school. And I didn't go to Montana because I'm not. But on this side of the world, I've been to most of the top schools because I want to learn, you know. And some of it was all trout, you know. Some of it was instructor schools for FFI, you know. So very advanced casting techniques, super advanced casting techniques. Stuff you don't, some of it you do on the water, but some of it you don't. It's what, if you get into it, you get into it all the way. You know, and so my passion's salt. I mean, I'm leaving tomorrow to go to the Keys. I'm chasing tarpon, you know. So
terrible life you have, I swear.
Is there anything like Chesapeake specific? Like that is something that you probably teach in your school that nobody's gonna have because it doesn't pertain to them as much, or is it? I know that's like a super,
that's a loaded question.
Loaded, but like it's unlikely because I feel like, you know, at some point water's water. You gotta be able to cast, you gotta be able to, I don't know any of the technical terms for it, but you got to be able to do that stuff. But is there something particular in your school that's unique to the Chesapeake region?
You know, the bull reds that you chase, all right, a lot of people got redfish. A lot of people don't have 40 and 50-inch redfish. Louisiana, yes. But Louisiana is catching them in 3 feet of water. We're catching them in 30 or 40. So, again, you're dredging. Fishing for stripers. They do a lot of ocean fishing for stripers in mass. Ours is different, you know? Ours is different. So, you know, every fish, like fishing for permanent unarmed fish. So that's different than a lot of things. But there's one specific thing that we teach for in the Chesapeake Bay. You know, Drew, I don't know. I mean, the thing here is you got to be, some guys, you salt fish on Monday and you freshwater trout fish on Tuesday. Can't do that in Florida. Yeah. You know?
Right.
So our region has more to offer, which is something that, you know, I mean.
Our watershed is so diverse. You can catch big striped bass and bull redfish out in the middle of the Chesapeake Bay in deep water. Then go up into the shallows and catch schoolies or speckled trout. And then go up into the tributaries and catch panfish. Go up a little further, you're going to catch rainbow trout.
Or bass. Yeah. I mean, you're going to catch largemouth and smallmouth.
We've got it all.
You know, so it, it, you know, I think our fishing under birds is kind of unique. You know, I mean, Mass has it, East Coast has it, Ocean has it. But when we have mackerel, bluefish, and stripers in Mass under birds.
And there's probably some reds in there, too.
Yeah. Oh, the reds are underneath chomping on the bluefish.
There's no doubt about that. Do you get into the technicals of tying knots and choosing fly line and flies and all that?
100%. Yeah. 100%. You'll touch most every fly line that's made. You'll understand every fly line that's made. You understand why it's made, how it's made. Knots, leaders, flies. I mean, the PowerPoint presentation on the two-day school is 115 slides. Okay, so are we going to get into it? Yeah.
You're going deep.
Yeah, I have a whole section on guides, on how to talk to a guide. Big thing, how to talk to a guide.
Yeah.
How to understand what a guide's saying to you, okay? How to find the right guide, you know? And being honest with your guide on what in the hell you really can do.
What you're capable, yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm going to tell this story because it's very relevant here. I had some folks on my boat, and we all got a little chuckle out of this, that are experienced fly folks. One stuck my brand new 8.5-foot Orvis rod into my 4-foot array radar and snapped the tip off it. The other one wrapped his sinking line around my prop. So I'm in the water, in 50-degree water, having, of course, used the trolling motor to get me to shore because we're out in 30-foot of water. Get me to shore, turn and spot lock it. Hand one of them my remote and said, if we start moving, please.
Drive back.
Don't let me get run over and pull us away from the rocks. Nice. I have to get in the water with a knife and cut it out. So, yeah.
I think on all fronts, being honest is with your capabilities is always the way to go.
Yep.
No matter what, you're going to have a better time. You're going to have so much of a better time because I don't want to tell it. Like I say this and some people take it the wrong way is we will fish a day differently based on experience level.
1,000%.
1,000%. But that's not to mean that you're not going to have a good time and you're not going to see the same fish. What we're going to do is we're going to take you somewhere as guides that will
Catered towards your skill set.
It'll highlight your skill set.
Yeah.
And if you're not honest with the guide, they're not going to put you on the right. I think people don't realize how much guides actually think about how they're going to plan their day and how they're going to play the day out. And especially fly fishing is huge because the range can be a guy can cast, I don't know.
A Mark Peeler.
Yeah.
You got a Mark Peeler that's fished all over the world, wants to get a trophy red. You've had him on your boat numerous times.
Yep.
He can put a fly in a paper cup at 60 feet.
Yeah.
Okay? Then you got guys that, you know, you're pretty much having to teach them how to cast on the boat.
Which is fine.
I love it. You know, and we've all done this. When we have customers come to our boats, we ask them, hand them a rod, do you know how to use this? And they turn it upside down, start reeling the wrong way. Okay? So we have an LJ. LJ is the one that showed me this one day. You have the 10-minute casting session at the dock.
Yep.
Okay? I do that with fly folks. You know, we'll do that. You know, and the fly school, you know, hopefully when someone gets done with this school, they'll understand the techniques, the responsibilities, you know, the hows, the application. And they'll be able to go into a tackle shop, a fly shop, and understand what's there. Because if you ever looked at a fly line box, it's got like a code on it. You know, WF, 8WT, IS, you know. Okay. You know, so I go through all that. I put fly lines on everybody's desk. I'll go through all the terminology, everything. It's, you know, soup to nuts. We do it all.
That's great, because it is. It's very overwhelming when you get into it and try dive into. I heard you call it the journey of fly fishing earlier. It's Drew. You don't know because you haven't
journeyed.
You haven't journeyed.
He's coming to the dark side.
There's so much that goes into it, and it's the same as conventional fishing, spin fishing, because we just do it so much. Conventional fishing, we don't pay any attention to all the little things that go into it and doing things right, choosing the right braid or mono or fly fishing is just as intricate, and
if not more.
I would say more.
My leaders. My leaders are four different weights of leader material, and they can be mono or fluoro or a mixture.
I think I use two different leaders all year.
Yeah.
No matter what I'm doing.
25 or 20. Yeah, it don't matter.
I throw in a 40.
Yeah, okay.
40 for the big fish.
Yeah.
Here's a question, and this is a genuine question of mine. Why do you use these tapered leaders?
You have to get the fly line to roll out. When we're spin casting, we've got 2 ounces, an ounce, ounce and a half, quarter ounce, plus a little paddle tail. That's what we're casting. When you're casting a fly rod, the line is your weight. Okay? So that's what you're casting. So that leader has to roll out at the end to present the fly. Okay? Because, and by having the tapers makes it come out and lay down. That's why the tapers.
Okay. I am, full disclosure, I'm coming to fly fishing school.
So is Drew, but he just doesn't know
if
yet.
If he's going, that means I probably got to work.
No, you're coming.
No, I got the schedules blocked out. We're going, both of us.
It would be here's the thing. Again, what LJ, what a couple guys say, especially Peeler, you just have another arrow in your quiver.
Yeah, no, I know.
You know, it's just something else, you know. And you know, we were talking about the Puerto Rico thing I'm doing. You guys should come to Puerto Rico. I mean, there's a guy I had the other day that we got blown out. We got blown out. So I said, why don't we come back to my house and we'll just do some yard work. And the guy's a pretty good caster. He's pretty good. I mean, he's been doing it for about a year and a half, but he's decent. He can get a fly out there. He landed 12 tarpon in 4 days. You know? That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, landed.
Landed to his hand. Probably broke off another 10.
Yeah.
You know, plus had shots at permit. That's epic. Mm-hmm. That, you know, and doing it on a fly when a fly line is like hand lining a fish. You get an 80-pound fish that you're holding on with one hand and you're going, please don't break. Please don't break. You know,
I would do it. I know.
I saw you doing a sort of a demonstration earlier before we started recording about fighting a fish and how much pressure you put into a rod.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit more about that and how to fight. Because I know you fight a fish, especially a big one, with a fly rod a little bit differently than you do with a spinning reel and spinning rod.
I actually fight big fish the same.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. And I had a buddy of ours, Travis, yelling at me one day at the power plant because I had a 45. I had a good fish on, and I was fighting it like a flight. And he's like, no, keep your rod tip up. Keep your rod tip up. Well, guys, when you have your rod tip up in the air, that tip of that rod puts no pressure on that fish. Puts no pressure on that fish. I won't say it a third time. Where you get pressure on a fish is what I call down and dirty. When you put that fish on your side on 45 degrees and the bottom end of that rod. The top end of your rod is perfectly straight, pointing at the fish, and that bottom end of the rod is bent. That's when you got pressure on a fish. And that's when you got a, that's when a tarpon knows that, oh my God, I'm hooked onto something. All right. And if you don't do that, if you try to high stick a tarpon, or I mean, these 40 inch rockfish out there with a fly rod, you'll be there a while. All right. I mean, I've got a video, and this is not, I'm not, again, trying to, I was in Mosquito Lagoon in Florida catching bull reds, and then we were on spinning gear. I had no idea this, I was with friends of mine. She filmed me, and I use it in the fly school because I've never had anybody film someone going through a whole fight from hook set to land the fish. I took this, it was a 40-inch bull, minute and a half. He was in the net. Now, I had heavy gear, okay? But, I mean, I watched both you all do it on big fish too. I mean, it's just boom, 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 let's go. You know, and that's what you got to do.
Well, there's definitely working a rod and using it right. It can cut the fight in a quarter, I feel like. Yeah, we see people struggling that might take 5 minutes to get a big fish in, and guys that really know what they're doing, fighting them efficiently, can do it in a minute.
Yeah. I mean, I watched you. Again, I'll go back. 4 fish over 40 in 20 minutes.
Let's keep talking about this.
Drew's getting a little upset. I don't fish with Drew enough. I fish with you more than I fish with Drew. So, but that's the big thing. The big thing is with a fly rod, setting the hook in the salt water is completely different than setting the hook on a trout. On a trout, you're lifting your rod because they have a very soft mouth. You don't want to yank it out. And if you do that with a big fish in the salt, you just pull the fly out of his mouth. You know? So you want to strip that line. Don't move that rod. You strip set that line. So that line is always tight. That hesitation when you lift that rod, that fly will, I mean, they call it pulling the fly. You hear so many go, oh, I had 5 eats and then I pulled the fly. That's because they're not doing it right. You have got to strip set. You know, and your guys coming tight on big rockfish, hopefully they were strip set. And if they did it right, the fish is going to stay buttoned up. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm guilty of it. You know, I jig fish all year. I'm wham, I'm set up. I'm jamming it home.
Giving the old Bassmaster 5000.
Yeah, dude, it's just, but when you're on salt, you have to strip. And I'll tell you I'll show you guys this when you come to school, how I stop myself from doing it. When I'm stripping, I don't hold the rod in my hand. Rod goes up underneath my arm, and I two-hand strip. Okay, or I have a tendency to trout set. Yeah, not really. I mean, sometimes you just go back to your old nature. But that's something that we teach, how to set the hook. What happens, you know, then you kind of alluded to this, the guy lost a fish because he's standing on his line. Line management. It's another thing, a little safety thing, all right? You got a 120-pound tarpon on the other end. Okay, that line's wrapped around your hand.
Tight drag on the reel.
You're going swimming.
You're going swimming or you're getting cut.
Tight drag on the reel.
You're done.
Yeah.
You're done. So knowing where you are when that fish hits and how to... you basically... We don't have video, but you're basically spreading your arms apart and making sure that line's coming off that deck and not getting caught around that reel and letting it out with your finger. Yeah. All right. And then once you get, you know, there's fly fishing, two different things. You're either fighting the fish on the reel or you're fighting them on the line just by hand. So when you get big fish, you're fighting it this way. That line's got to go out. You got to get to your reel, okay? Once it's on the reel, then you're down and dirty.
Game on.
But getting there's the...
That's definitely the the moment, the most scary moment of hooking into a big fish, and that's when it all can go wrong.
I've lost bonefish, I've lost tarpon, got a little knot in my line, and it catches.
Do you think that's the biggest mistake people make?
For a beginner,
what's the biggest thing you see?
Line management. And I trout setting and line management, they're right there.
What's something we do basically all boat fishing, right? We're all fishing off of a bow. We're not on the Chesapeake Bay, we're not fishing on skiffs, right? Okay. We don't have a platform up. Well, we have platforms, but we don't have,
your boat, people are staying down the bottom.
A lot of times.
Yeah.
What's something that people can do to make line and management?
Stripping mat.
The mat
or the basket.
We were just talking about that.
Yeah. Get a leaf, go to Tractor Supply, get one of the collapsible leaf buckets.
Yep.
That's what I have in my boat. And make them strip into the bucket. Okay? Because then it's coming out. Okay? And there's a big thing with fly fishing that people don't sometimes do. You first cast, when you start off, you should get your line out and then pull it back in the basket. Not put it in the basket and then try to fish. That line's got to come out the way it went in. So if it went in the right way, it's a whole lot better for you when the fish bites. You know, I mean, that's paramount. It didn't doing it that way.
I think Drew and I are both sitting here mind blown about how much goes into.
Yeah, it's definitely.
It's a lot.
It's learning a new language.
Yeah, it's a lot.
You want to talk about, I throw a fly rod 5 to 7 days a week at hula hoops with soccer cones inside of them from 40 to 70 feet.
Yeah, that's a.
Every day.
It's an art.
Every day.
Takes
you got to be committed to do that. You know, we get people on our boat, you know, being honest. When I talk to fly guides, one of the first questions is, hey, when is the last time you practiced with your rod? 50 to 60% of the people say, well, the last time I was fishing with you. You haven't fished with me in a year. It's going to take you a week, you know?
Yeah.
here's something that I wholeheartedly believe in, and that is, if you're gonna take on fly fishing or fishing or any hobby, put some effort into it. You need to learn it and you need to practice it, because you're gonna dream, you're gonna go crazy, and you're gonna dream. All of us fishermen do it. We dream about the perfect scenario when we got this big fish just tailing in front of us and we need to make a long cast. You could spend all the money in the world, go fish with the best guide in the world, but if you're not prepared, you forget about it. You're going to miss that fish, or you're going to spook it, or you're not going to be able to reach it. We've had times, Drew, I know you've seen it, where if this person could just cast another 15 feet, they would have caught 5 times as many fish in the day. So putting in, I mean, I always say, you know, I'm like a sponge. Drew's heard my seminars many times, but I'm a sponge, and I try to take as much from everybody as possible. And Scotty, your school has there's a lot of knowledge. There's a lot of experience talking in there. It's invaluable.
Yeah. Yeah, the guys that are teaching it, I mean, I love it. I learn it every day. Yeah. Am I paying for it? I guess I am, because I'm the guy writing the checks. But, you know, I learn so much from these guys. You know, talk about dream. My dream is to see a permit 40 or 50 feet tailing, put a crab fly in front of them, and that son of a gun eats, and I catch him. And I don't care if it's a 10-pound or a 50-pound. I just want a permit in my hand. So I've caught bonefish, I've caught tarpon, I've caught stripers, I've caught everything.
Well, you've had experience. You've put the time in, the effort in to learn
practice.
You've practiced. And then you go you're putting it into work.
Yeah.
You're retired now. You're living a great life. You're being able to go. You're able to go fishing.
I'm broke. I have two boats. I hang out with you guys.
You're a fishing guide.
We're broke. You know, I mean, the other day you guys are out there. I look and you got $2,000 worth of parts and you got four motors apart. And I'm going, oh my God. Yeah, and I get a phone call. Can you bring me some oil?
Yeah, I do owe you one for that, and I appreciate it.
Actually, I still owe you.
I still
owe you for that one.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, that's on his tab.
It's never ending there, but it's the disease we all have. We all been bitten by the bug. That it doesn't matter getting that next bite. It's a sickness. Definitely a sickness. Well, Scotty, we're getting a little close to time. Tell us a little bit about how people can reach you and get a hold of you and set up something to go fishing with you. Scotty's a great guy here on the Chesapeake Bay, or come to fly school. If you come to fly school, Drew and I are going to be there.
Drew's coming to the dark side.
I'm bigger than both of you. There's not a chance I will be there if I don't want to be.
We'll call in reserves. The best way is just go to my website, fishrockon.com. The Orvis School is listed right there. You can also go to Orvis's site. We're listed right there. Or you can call me. I mean, my cell's 240-372-1864. You know, whatever, you know, website, send me an email. I'll get you set up. You know, and we were talking earlier, I'd love to do some more shad fishing with fly.
I actually do love shad fishing. Well, I've never done it on the fly, but I love the shad fish.
Maybe when I get back from this trip, we'll take the boat and we'll run up Tumac to Fletcher's and we'll go fishing.
Let's do it. Maybe I'll cast a fly rod.
You will cast it. I won't bring a spinner rod.
I'll bring one.
I've seen it. I've actually seen it in action that shad fishing with a fly rod is tons of fun.
Shad or baby tarpon? It's a blast.
Only instead of hoping to get one eat a day, tarpon, you're going to catch a ton of them.
Yeah, and sometimes you'll get doubles.
Yeah,
because I'm going to do a double dropper, and it's stupid.
All right, I'll give it a shot. Guess I better start practicing.
Well, you guys got Captain Scotty's information. I got to tell you, he's a blast. I fish with Scotty all the time, and he's fun to be around.
Beautiful boat.
His boat. Tell us a little about your boat real quick,
Scotty. It only goes fast.
It goes slow, too.
I've never seen it.
Well, you always see me when I'm hauling butt.
It's the only thing you do.
Well, we're trying to find fish. You're going one way. You go north, I'll go south. Okay, go. Here we go. I run a 27 Pathfinder with a 425 Hummingbird. We all run birds.
Yep.
And then for fly fishing, I've got a Hughes 21 with a 300 on it. You know, both are made by Maverick, and they're damn good boats.
Yeah, sweet boats.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I mean, a sea hunter is a sea hunter.
I will say it's the second nicest boat on the Chesapeake Bay.
It sees my exhaust most of the time.
Yeah.
But you know what? I drove your sea hunter the other day, and I'm going to tell you, I had one on order. I just can't, with all this going on, I mean, you guys are going to have to adjust your whole schedule to accommodate what you need to do to be.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, I can't justify buying. I'd love to have a 28 Floridian. You know, my Pathfinder does a good job.
I was really impressed with your Pathfinder.
Yeah, you've been in the ocean.
We took it in the ocean. I was like, that thing was eating.
I actually think it's probably better for fly fishing.
Oh, 100%.
With the casting deck. So.
Yeah, and I can cast front and back.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, it's better for fly fishing. But, you know, I mean, folks, I watched Drew catch a big old tuna on my boat. And then he went straight to the floor.
That was a 20-some-minute fight.
Well, the tuna weighed more than I did.
Yeah.
So, and they want me to cast. I'm like, no, 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 no. I have no desire. I'll catch big tarpon. I don't want to mess with them tuna. Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap this one up. Scotty, thanks again for coming.
You're welcome.
Thanks for joining us, pushing your meeting for us.
Yeah, we always...
Yeah,
we always We always love talking with you, and I hope everyone enjoyed this one. I know we did.
It was fun.
Scotty's a blast.
Yep.
Thanks, Scotty.
You're welcome.